Hello, and welcome to The Worthless Servants, a podcast focused on the mission of the church. Jesus tells us in Luke 17 that after obeying and serving the Lord, we should never seek compliments or credit. We are only worthless servants, privileged to work in God's mission field. We believe that's the essence of missions. This season, missionaries Emily Armstrong and Daria Richards join me, Scott Armstrong, as we highlight the city. In this first episode, we talk about the growing urbanization of the world and what difference that should make for us as Christians. The future is truly urban, but maybe the present already is as well. So good to have you. Listener, so good to have you with us as well. I'd like you to get to know who we are a little bit. So let's start with Dario. Man, just love ministering with you, love having you here. Tell us a little bit about your family and about your ministry.
Hey, so my name is Dario. I'm from the beautiful island of Barbados. I'm married to Linda. We have three beautiful children, Caleb, Sarah, and Ashir. Who are like the ocean in our house. Sometimes they bring peace and tranquility. Other times they are a collective tsunami, but we love them quite the same. Most of my time in ministry is now spent in sports ministry, using sport, play, and fitness as tools for community transformation and disciple making. And I get to oversee the development of that and the multiplication of disciples in the world of sport, play, and fitness across the Caribbean and in some global spaces. So it has been exciting. It's a good balance of activity in the field and then, you know, the administrative stuff that I don't enjoy as much, but the work is getting done. So that's where I spend the bulk of my ministry time right now.
Oh, so good to have you here. You were an ordained minister as well, and you've been a pastor. Just going to want to ask you, where this series, we're going to be doing several episodes on the city, on urban ministry especially. What's your hope for this series?
I think, you know, being from a small island, I only understood the concept of city when I travel. Because in Barbados, people don't move to the city. We go to the city, we work, and we go back home. But I definitely understand urbanization, you know, how the even the small islands are becoming even more urban and the demand that it is placing on the church. And I think the biggest shift that we need to make as a church, and my hope for this podcast, is that every believer actually begins to view themselves as a minister because urban ministry requires every hand on deck. It can't be just, you know, the pastor and a few leaders not responsible for doing everything. As we become more urban, it means that every believer must see the call of God to be involved in ministry. And I'm hoping that this podcast can contribute to that. The average believer who doesn't, you know, see any super calling on their life, they don't feel called to be a pastor or a missionary, that they see how they could impact their neighbor, you know? And I'm hoping that, that's what we can achieve. Every believer minister.
Yeah. Listener, I mean, you just heard it. I mean, this is our passion. We're not just doing this because we like doing podcasts and everyone seems to do a podcast, right? We're doing this because we would love churches to change and cities to change. And that's going to require, like you say, everyone working, everyone in the mission field, right? Emily, tell a little bit. I mean, hey, for those who don't know, we're connected. We're married. So Emily, maybe you can tell a little bit about, you know, our story, not the long version, but and where we are in ministry.
Sure. Scott and I have been married for almost 24 years in 2024, June 2024. We'll have 24 years of marriage. And we have two wonderful children, adult children. And Elijah is 20 years old, and our daughter Sydney just turned 19. So we are empty nesters. We have been missionaries for 21 years. So most of our marriage and our family life has been on the foreign mission field. We've lived in Guatemala, in Costa Rica, in Panama, and now we currently live in the Dominican Republic. And we love mobilizing the church in missions. And about 10 to 12 years ago, we were challenged to really start thinking about city ministry. So I'm an ordained elder in the Church of the Nazarene, and Scott is as well. Anything else you want to know?
So that's awesome. You've said a little bit about our passion for cities, and we have lived in huge cities. I mean, that was not our intention, but now we've developed a love for the city. Yeah. What's your hope for these episodes that we're really, this series that we're recording?
I would say exactly that. We maybe are the opposite of what Dario's life is. We've lived in big cities our whole lives. Like, that's where God has placed us. And it took until somebody challenged us to really think about the city, to truly think about what God was doing in the city. So I would hope that these episodes, if you're living in the city, is challenging you to maybe see your world differently. If you're not living in the city, exactly what Dario said, how you can engage as well, that this is a collaborative effect of ministry, and how God has just truly placed a passion in me. And it's come with a lot of education. It's come with a lot of awareness. So even though we can have something around us, if we don't educate ourselves on it, it's hard to have a passion about it. So I would hope that if you're listening to this podcast today or in some time in the future, that you would have a passion for the city. Yes. And that you would feel like you want to engage in it.
Absolutely. So let's dive into the topic. I mean, this is going to several episodes, but this first episode, I almost feel like we need to convince the leader that's listening, maybe the listener that says, well, everyone lives in a city. I mean, what's the difference, right? What is the reality of our world? Are we urban? Are we becoming more urban? Can you guys talk to that a little bit?
Yeah, I think some of the world statistics that you can read almost on any Google site, you can see them on World Health Organization, you can see it on the UN pages, you can see them anywhere that anybody is talking about globalization issues. They are going to talk about the urbanization of the world. It is one of the main topics that they're bringing to the table because it's so important to truly wrap our minds around. I like the title of this podcast because it's The Future is Urban, but then even in this world of The Future is Urban, we in Latin America, in Caribbean, and North America are already living in urban environment. So for me, the easiest way for people to wrap their minds around that is the future is urban because the world is not like quite there yet. We're like tipping over on the edge of it, of some of the biggest places in Africa, in Asia, in Europe. They're still kind of in like the mid 40%. You know, their populations are in the mid 40s. But in Latin America, Caribbean, North America, we're in 82 and 83% wow. of our population already lives in an urban environment. So like, I know I just said a lot of numbers, right? So for us here sitting in this room that are representatives of those land masses, if 10 of us were sitting in this room, 8 of us already live in a city. So it's like, if we haven't thought about urbanization, if we haven't thought about the city, then we're already behind the conversation. So I think for us, the future is not urban. The present is urban.
Yeah, in 1700, fewer than 2% of the world's population lived in urban spaces, right? And I was looking up, and Beijing and London were the only cities that had populations even over 1 million. So think about the difference now when really over half, 56%, are living in bigger cities, right? We're not talking just a small city. We're talking bigger cities, and there are mega cities, dozens of them. Dario, when you hear some of these statistics, and you've traveled so much, you've been in some of these cities. What is the reality that you're starting to see around the world?
Yeah, for me, I currently measure urban by traffic. whatever the traffic situation is the biggest indicator of how urban, you know, the city or the space that I'm in is. And it is just true. And I think one of the drivers of it as well, why we are not just talking about the future reality, but the present, it's just the role technology is playing in contributing to the urbanization of spaces. So even persons who may not even be in the city still has to deal with the issues of the city because of how technology is moving. And across the world, you know, being from an island, when I first go to cities like New York City or I go to Cairo, it's noisy, it's loud, everybody is moving. You know, in the Caribbean, there's still this sense of, you know, if something happens, you know, there's a measure of care, everybody stops to make sure you're okay. You go into a big city, it's like nothing happens. Everything keeps moving, you know? And just from the experience of it, you can't ignore the fact that this is where we are. It's going to continue to become more urban, and it's even having the impact. I love how Emily used the statistics of our context, because obviously we know the Mexicos, the Panamas, Haiti, these big land spaces. But even in the islands, the smaller context, the impact of urbanization is very real. And it is changing the culture. It's changing the traditions of the islands. And if we continue to ignore it, then we don't get left behind, because we have to go with it. We just become irrelevant and disengaged. So it is necessary that we are aware of it. We start strategizing for it so we can respond effectively. So,
yeah, I think it's important what you're saying, even about the islands. I think when we think about Caribbean islands, you might think, oh, well, that's not urban. But the reality is exactly what you're saying is, even in our islands, people are moving to the cities. And so let's say, and I'm just going to throw, this is not a real statistic, right? But let's say there's an island that has 500,000 people living on it. There's a good chance that 50 to 60% of the people on that island are living in one or two major cities in the island, right? Like, they're not just equally spread out all over the land space of the island. They're starting to like conglomerate in the city areas. So even in our Caribbean islands, we're starting to see this urban culture, even though you might not feel like that's what they're known for.
For those who don't know, we're recording this podcast in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic. Dominican Republic's a fairly big island compared to some islands, and more than half of the population of our entire country is in two cities, Santiago and in Santo Domingo, the capital. So that gives you a little bit, I mean, it's a bigger island, but we're in two big cities, pretty much half of us. So, well, you guys have already kind of dived into this a little bit. Some people can say, oh, okay, lots of statistics. Okay, the future, but also the present is urban. But what difference does that make? I mean, should we just be aware of that and as a church kind of be like, okay, well, now we know. What difference does this make truly in our day-to-day lives?
I think one thing I've heard you talk about, Scott, maybe you want to speak to it just a little bit, is even in the government realms, like, we have urban planners. We have people that right now are thinking about what the future is going to bring. And so I think even following on those types of examples of when urban planners are looking, we have a city, we know that there's more people coming in and our roads can't handle it, our transportation can't handle it, our sanitation can't handle it. Like, how is the church confronting what the church issue is of urbanization is as well?
Yeah, and we'll get into some of that in some future episodes, but really a pastor and author that has spoken into our lives, I know, is Tim Keller, and he passed away in 2023. He has a quote that has served to be there's hot debate about this quote, right? But he says, cities have more of the image of God per square inch than any other place on earth. Now, for the person that you're listening right now and you say, I'm kind of not in a city, and does that mean, you know, the image of God is less in me and less in us? Well, what he's saying is, obviously, if we believe that we were made in the image of God, and there's just more and more people packed into these cities, that technically, and I think he's right, there's more of the image of God per square inch just in those compressed places than any other place on earth. That, to me, talks about opportunity. A lot of us, and we will talk in future episodes about problems and difficulties and obstacles with ministry in the city, but it also provides opportunities. Dario, what are some of the implications of a growing urban culture and urbanization?
Yeah, no, I agree with you, because, you know, two words that are always associated with becoming more urban is density and diversity.
Yeah.
Density and diversity definitely capture the image of God. A lot of people and very different people, you know, looking, it's the best expression of his creation. You know, he created very different people, different cultures, different expressions in every way. I think for the church, what is now in front of us, which you would have to catch up with, is the rate of change that the urban setting brings. You know, historically, we are accustomed to slow change. If you look at most churches, most things have not changed over 50 years, over 60 years, you know. We sing the same songs, we organize the same way, maybe we change the pews for cushion chairs, you know.
Praise the Lord.
And we think that's drastic.
Exactly, you know. But urbanization, it catalyzes a rate of change that would take more than the usual approach that we have to church business. It would require different skill sets. It would require, you know, we have to quickly get rid of the line between secular and sacred as it comes to work. You know, like the strategic thinker in the government is just as valuable as a strategic thinker in the church to help think strategically about what do we need to do as a community to effectively impact. So I think the rate of change is the biggest consideration for the church as we think about becoming more urban. Things are going to change much more quickly, and there's going to be a tension created because the church is heavy on tradition. Yeah. And that's biblical. You know, there are unchanging truths, unchanging practices, things that we must never change, that are part of the identity of the church. But then there's some other things that are not core identity that we have to be willing and committed to changing and adjusting and adapting. And I think that's what the biggest difference for us as a church is going to be. How can we respond to all of the changes that urbanization would require?
As you talk about change, I think of the innovators, and honestly, in the cities, the entrepreneurs, the innovators, designers, those people are in the cities. And so that also becomes strategic, right? Tim Keller says, even if 80% of the population of a country are Christian believers, they will have almost no cultural influence if the Christians do not live in cultural centers and work in culture-forging fields. So he's talking about academia and publishing and media and entertainment and the arts. I mean, again, you can have an artist that lives anywhere. You can have someone that's involved in technology working from a very rural place. But it's not as common. It's strategically, we as a church want to change culture, want to be influencers, and I don't mean that in a social media kind of way, but we want to influence. We want to be able to reach the most people possible. It will be strategic, right, Emily? It will be strategic to get to the cities.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm literally having this thought like in real time. So as I'm saying it, right, it's interesting to hear you say that, because I think that's a piece of what we will always struggle with as a church in urban mission, is to reach like cultural centers. You need to be in those professional spaces. You need to be in the highly educated spaces. Like the things that you just said are these very, you know, high level things. And we have to hold in balance that the gospel is for everybody. So when you're in the city, you also have to hold space for the impoverished, the marginalized, the people that maybe don't hold influence, but like all throughout the Bible, those are the people that God uses to influence for the kingdom, right? Mm-hmm. So like we can't always work on the world standards of influence. We also have to hold in balance the biblical standard of influence of God almost always, or always, I would have, again, I'm in real time here, of taking something very small and very humble and allowing it to grow out of what only God can do, because what's impossible for us is what's possible for God.
That's good.
That's a good point, even the balance between tradition and innovation. You were talking about, Dario, and now, Emily, you're talking about the balance between influencers and the up-and-comers, you know, and I can think of churches that have said, we're the church for the young couples, the young family. And I'm like, whoa. I mean,
what about everybody else in your neighborhood?
And what happens in 10 years when they're not the young couples? You know?
We find another organization.
Yeah, but also being able to minister to and prioritize the poor, the disenfranchised, that's important. Well, one thing's for certain, I think we would all agree, we cannot evangelize the world unless we reach the vast, growing, and influential urban centers of the world. I think that's going to wrap up this time together, but this was just kind of really an introduction. We hope, listener, that you have been persuaded, we are becoming more urban as a world, our region certainly, Emily, yes. You mentioned that, and that actually deals with us as a church. We're going to get into that in the coming episodes, but if there's nothing else, we are the Worthless Servants. I'm Scott Armstrong.
I'm Emily Armstrong.
And I'm Dario Richards.
And we'll talk with you next time.
Thanks for joining us. For more information on this and other podcasts, visit nazpodcast.com. We'll be waiting for you.